Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org.
Making the bad kind of history.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. In 1995, there was a huge case of bank fraud in Britain. You might remember it. One man, a trader named Nick Leeson, wiped out Barings Bank cash reserves. The company went bankrupt after being in business for 230 years. That might be peanuts compared to the story out of France today. The French bank, Société Générale, said one of its employees defrauded the company of more than $7 billion. Joining us now is our European correspondent, Stephen Beard. Stephen, this bank was already in trouble from subprime. What did this guy do?
Well, indeed. In fact, his losses dwarfed the bank's subprime losses. We don't know his name. We know that he was based in Paris and that he's a trader. He bet vast amounts of the bank's money on the future direction of European stock markets. And obviously, he got it wrong. And the bank lost about $7.1 billion.
How on earth did he get away with this?
Well, Société Générale says he had a deep knowledge of the bank's risk control procedures because he had worked previously in the middle offices in the administration part of the bank. However, I should say that outside Société Générale, there is some skepticism about this and some observers saying it's frankly incredible that one individual can bet such vast amounts of money and take such huge positions without anybody else becoming aware of it.
And what are the repercussions here for the bank?
The bank clearly is pretty embarrassed. The shares of the bank were suspended before the announcement. When they resumed trading, they fell, but only about 3.5%. Société Générale's shares, like other European banks, have been pummeled in the market. And in fact, over the past 6 months, they're down by about 50%. This is obviously very damaging for the reputation of what is one of France's largest banks.
Okay, Stephen Beard in London, thank you.
Okay, Scott.
The concern du jour on Wall Street is those bond insurance companies. Yesterday, New York regulators called on banks to help those insurers out. Wall Street responded with a Dow spiking 300 points. This morning, stocks are still up. The Dow has gained 54 points in early trading. The Nasdaq is up 34, and the S&P 500 has gained 10. In Asia today, the markets finished about 2% higher. The gains in Europe are 4 to 5% so far. Walmart is the center of a lot of debate, even presidential debates. This was Barack Obama going after Hillary Clinton this week.
While I was working on those streets, watching those folks see their jobs shipped overseas, you were a corporate lawyer sitting on the board of Walmart. I was fighting these fights.
Walmart as the evil force. But just yesterday, the company unveiled plans to be a force for good. Here's Jeremy Hobson.
In a speech to store managers, Lee Scott sounded more like a progressive politician than the CEO of Walmart.
Our goal is to work with suppliers to make the most energy-intensive products in our store 25% more energy efficient within the next 3 years.
Scott talked about selling electric cars, even putting windmills in the parking lots so people could charge those cars. And he said Walmart will take a lead role in moving the nation from handwritten doctor's notes toward electronic prescriptions. Charles Fishman is the author of The Walmart Effect.
This is Walmart waking up to the fact that the drive for low prices has come to a point where it can be corrosive, but that same power, that same focus can actually be used to create a much more sustainable world.
And he says Walmart wouldn't mind a more positive reputation in some circles. I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
We'll be right back. This is the Morning Report for Thursday, January 24th on Marketplace.org. There's a much-awaited auction today. What's up for sale is something you can't see and you can't touch. Wireless spectrum. But this auction is probably going to change the cell phone industry as we know it. Here's Lisa Napoli.
The TV industry converts to digital in 2009. That'll free up powerful airwaves for the government to auction off. And unlike bidding on eBay for that pair of shoes you like, this auction could drag on for up to 2 months.
We're all going to be handicapping it until, you know, whichever horse crosses the line when the FCC announces the auction's over and certifies it.
That's wireless industry analyst Glenn Fleischman. He says the race for the spectrum includes the usual suspects, the mobile companies. Newcomers to the industry like Google are lining up as well. Deloitte analyst Carol Maddy says that we don't know who'll win the bidding war. There is one thing that's clear.
It will have a direct impact on the American consumer at the end of the day.
Because whoever wins the spectrum gets the coveted airwaves that will improve phone and data service. Uncle Sam wins, too. The government's expected to raise more than $10 billion from the auction. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
You've heard of the Wine of the Month Club or the Book of the Month Club. But how about Art of the Month Club or something like it? Julie Kane has this report from San Francisco.
It's going to be short. Too short.
We're in a converted flower shop in the heart of San Francisco's Mission District. A bunch of mostly young enthusiasts work at a long table covered with rubber stamps, tape dispensers, and cardboard mailing tubes.
In the middle of the table here.
Right now they're demanding so many of them that you don't even have to ask. They're asking us for them.
They're wrapping this season's Thing. The Thing is a locally made, mass-produced work of art. It's delivered to subscribers quarterly. Think of it as a kind of fruit of the month club for art lovers. The first edition of The Thing came out last September. It was pull-down window shades that artist Miranda July designed with slogans.
If this shade is down, I'm begging your forgiveness on bended knee with tears streaming down my face.
Yeah. That's Thing co-creator John Hirschend.
And the other one is, if this shade is down, I'm not who you think I am.
Since September, the company has signed about 850 subscribers worldwide who pay $120 a month to get art delivered to their doorstep. But even the creators say it's not a perfect business model. For one thing, telephone calls, printer cartridges, postage and production all add up. And for another, Hirschend's co-creator Will Rogan says their art is never one size fits all.
You know, it's going to be a different size every single time. You don't know what it's going to be. You don't know how much it's going to weigh. You don't know how much it's going to cost to produce. That's ridiculous.
But at least they're breaking even. For a fledgling business run by local artists with a non-corporate business model, that's pretty good. The Thing has sold more than $100,000 worth of subscriptions since September.
It's like the most money in a bank account that's had my name on it ever.
In San Francisco, I'm Julie Kane for Marketplace.
Will the Fed cut interest rates again next week? You could make a lot of money if you knew the answer to that question. There is a market where people bet on future events like that. And right now, the decision is unanimous. Jill Barshay reports.
Traders see a 100% chance the Fed will cut its target interest rate by at least a half a percentage point at its meeting next week. That's according to yesterday's close of the Chicago futures market. Economist Lou Crandall tracks Federal Reserve policy at research firm Wrightson ICAP. He says hedge funds who buy futures are watching the stock market closely. As stocks fell yesterday, hedge funds raced to place bets the Fed would cut rates, just like the Fed did earlier this week to stop the global market meltdown.
Since this rate cut was clearly triggered by equity market conditions, stocks are being given a greater weight in the market in deciding what the Fed might do next week.
Traders are predicting a rate cut twice as large as economists are right now. Crandall says the futures market has been extraordinarily accurate in predicting Fed policy, but it's not perfect. Traders lowballed the Fed rate cut of last September by half. In New York, I'm Jill Barshay from Marketplace.
Time to visit with our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell. We were chatting yesterday, and Chris told me that within an hour of the Fed cutting interest rates on Tuesday, he was getting emails from people asking, Should I refinance? A lot of anxious homeowners out there, Chris.
I don't know who these people are, where they are. It's like they were sitting at their computers. The Fed cuts rates. Boom, boom, boom. They type in, Chris, what should I do? Is it time to refinance?
Well, is it a good time now that the Fed has cut rates?
Well, the way that I look at it is it's positive news for the mortgage market. It's positive news for homeowners. It's especially good news for those homeowners who have good credit scores. However, it's not going to stop us from going into recession. Mm-hmm. It's not going to stop home prices from continuing to decline somewhat. I don't think that it's going to convince a lot of people that now is bottom in the housing market. But what I do think it will do is that it'll shift the mindset of a number of homeowners from, boy, this is really a bad situation, to, hey, you know what? I can take advantage of this situation to improve my financial circumstances. So it's part of the process of healing.
But I remember not too long ago, Chris, when people were complaining about homeowners using their houses as ATM machines. Are we going into another cycle here by doing this?
You know, that's a theme that's out there, and that's a risk. And you hear it being expressed this way. Ben Bernanke, that Fed chairman, he's bailing out his friends on Wall Street. But you know those emails that I got?
Mm-hmm.
People weren't talking about treating their home as an ATM machine, something we've talked about a lot in the past. They were talking about, you know, restoring their finances, a more conservative financial picture. I think we are moving toward a more conservative financial picture. And frankly, I don't think that financial institutions are going to lend to the consumer the way they did before. What this cut in rates is doing is limiting the downside. It's preventing a collapse in financial institutions, preventing a collapse in households. But we're not going back to bubble mania anytime soon.
All right, Chris, we'll check back with you on this stuff, I assure you.
I know you will. I look forward to it.
If you'd like to weigh in on this topic, check out the Marketplace Confessional. It's on our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.